Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone together. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
Born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrews.
Over my sister.
Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High Yah. Shalom to my audience. Thanks for coming. Can you please say all praises to the Most High Yah?
All praises to the Most High Yah.
Praise Yah, praise Yah. Y'all notice I have a larger crowd than a couple weeks prior. You missed us last week. I'm your host, Sister Ashley, right here in Tennessee. Got my friends and family, my sisters behind me. And I'm jumping to you, Mother Jennifer, for a sound check. Let's hear you all the way in Georgia.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Ashley, and shalom to all the daughters of Zion. It's great to hear the listening audience that's with you tonight. I pray that everyone is doing well. It's good to be here again for another episode of Sister to Sister. I can hear you very well, Sister Ashley, and I have the chat room pulled up, and it looks like we are good to go whenever you're ready.
Hallelujah. I give y'all all the praise, all the glory for another opportunity to even be heard. I praise them tonight for a testimony. I'm going to read it to you now. It says, Shalom, I pray this letter finds you well. I wanted to give a testimony on how the Father blessed me through deliverance and how I'm seeing the reward today. I bless y'all with all that I have and all that is within me, for faithful is he. Tonight we will talk about that. For faithful is he, and his mercy endures forever. My master moved us here, March of 2021. By faith, here is where I am, by the way, here in Tennessee. She says, by faith, we listed our home for sale. 3 days later, we had a contract. Before the house even closed, we hit the road headed for Tennessee. Was I nervous? Absolutely. But I knew Yah was literally pushing us to be closer. The draw was so strong. There's no earthly word that can describe it. I listen to something every day that's either Pastor Dow, Pastor Corey, our elders, teachers, deacons, or sisters, something that they put in the archives, and it helps me so much. There's literally a video for every single topic on the planet. I'd like to list some blessings I've experienced since being here. It's only been a year. Lower tailbone pain is gone. Blood pressure is lowered. Migraine headaches are down. I've been set free from anxiety and projected fear, rejection, gluttony, death, and suicide. All ties from ancestral curses and vanity, perfectionism and deep hurt, obsessive compulsive disorders, strong self-will, unforgiveness, pride, and soul ties have been broken. So many more things. I now have exchanged all that for peace that passes all understanding. When I do look in the mirror, I literally look so different. Whoever the old woman was, I cannot tell. My mind is so quiet, I'm able to actually hear when a thought is submitted, and what Shepherd says about thoughts not being your own is the absolute truth. I understand the verse that says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. I understand that Jesus gave his life for me. And this is special because I thought he gave his life for everyone but me, because I was so rejected. I was like, there's no way anyone could love me that much. But he does. I understand how a friend can stay closer than a brother and that a friend loves at all times. I understand my role as my master helps, as my masters help me so much the more, and what obedience and submission really is. The world teaches us so backwards, and once I really got it and began applying the teachings, I saw a change in my entire household. I understand how wicked a woman can truly be, especially if there's no deliverance. I know the thoughts that Satan submits that we don't cast down. It can build a wall that you actually believe, and it'll protect you. And it's just not the truth. That was me. I've learned in this that if we are not careful, we can project onto sisters what's in us when that's not even their spirit or way. And I understand that Shepherd loves us not in a way we've ever known, but in a way we need, and I'm so grateful for the sacrifice of one man that got us all here through Yahweh our Elohim. I also understand that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yah. And in getting this and actually getting an understanding, I've lost 10 pounds since Passover. I was just reflecting on my journey, wanting to testify of my 1 year and 3 month change, and I pray this helps someone. Please love yourself. If you don't love who Yah is forming you to be, there's no way you can love your neighbor. And if you don't love your neighbor, you can't love the Father whom you cannot see. Hallelujah. Shalom, our sister. Blessings to you. Thank you for your testimony. Glad we could read it tonight. Mother Jennifer, how is Georgia? How are you? What's your thoughts on the testimony even? Share some words.
Sister Ashley, Georgia's doing well. We are doing very well. I marvel at the saint that I live on the land with. You know, they are very hard workers. There's no complaining at all that I can hear on the land. The spirit is beautiful. The saints are up early to beat the heat. They're watering the garden late to, you know, try to avoid the being out in the sun all day. It's just, it really is a beautiful spirit on the land. We have the best group of saints that we've ever had right now, and it's just getting better. So I just want to say blessings to Straightway Georgia and to Elder Rufus for leading us, because without him, we would truly not be where we are. And for the letter, you know, there was one thing that really stuck out. These are the types of letters that we like to read, you know, the overcoming. And she said, we can project onto another sister what we have in us. And that is so true. And I believe that that statement is is not really thought of, you know, in our daily lives. Whatever we have in our hearts, whatever we have in our minds, we can project that onto someone else and say that it's actually something that they're dealing with. And really, that the other person is free. You're the one that's actually struggling. So that's where accusations come from. That's where divisions come from, because we're not sober enough in our minds. We're not mature enough in our minds. So it's really good that this sister has taken us and realized that the problem was her, and she's actually fixing it. So hallelujah, and bravo to her. Sister Ashley?
Yes, well said. Hey, we're kicking off tonight's conversation with a clip from Straightway Help Me's channel. If you're new and you're listening, thank you for subscribing. Thank you so much. Thank you for watching. I know you only watch and follow and listen to us because of our men and our leaders. We're just following right behind them. So thank you so much for following right behind us or getting anything encouraging out of the show, any form of correction, anything, whatever you long for. I'm sure your needs are met. We serve an almighty Yah. Hey, tonight's conversation, we're actually, you know, I had quite a few people say, why didn't you call into Pastor's show? Why would I? I have a show, right? So a lot of people probably expected me to call in or expected Mother Jennifer to call in, really wanting to know our minds on the question. Tonight you're going to hear it. So we're kicking off, what is woman's role in the Bible? I'll give you tonight exactly what came to me first. It is different than anything, any other answer. I do want to applaud and say thank you to everyone who called in, everyone who made the show so good on Pastor Dow's last blog talk on 60 night, everyone who has submitted, truly. And I'm sure every word that you called in and said, you'll be tested on. I have a show, so I know this. And then I also wanted to pick Mother Jennifer's brain. So all we did today was I hit up Mother Jennifer and said, hey, let's ask each other the same questions from last blog talk. And then we split up. We haven't come back together. We haven't talked about it. So it'll be nice to hear from her. And I hope you gain something from it. I know you will. As thoughts truly just flooded my mind before the show, I hope that I'm able to say it in a way that will, you know, give someone help. All right, here we go. Well, my first clip, I have a small fan in the background. If you hear any buzzing at all, let me know. Give sound checks to Sister Sakina. We can sacrifice and turn that small fan off. All right? I'm going to turn my volume up a little bit. Thanks to everyone tuning in. Bless you to the aged, the elders, the leaders, community heads, and those who follow. All right, here we go.
The problem that we're having today is we're making too many damn excuses about being worldly rather than working hard to be transformed. I've had to rub the residue of worldliness off of me.
Yes.
You had to too.
Oh, yes.
And I had to hate the garment spotted by the flesh.
Yes.
And when I look at our sisters today, all across the spectrum, from young and old, I only see two types of women. A modern woman or a traditional woman. A modern woman is the woman with the mindset of today's society, humanistic form of, and a perspective and point of view of the way they think women should be.
Yes.
The traditional one, and we're going to say a Hebraic traditional one, which is the one that teaches all the woman the virtues of what a Hebraic woman should be. We're going to touch on those things. Because some women are entering into marriage having a short experience with the Hebrew faith and the way it should be, but not seeking to be transformed and keeping their modern perspective and point of view as one of these worldly women. And there's going to be a conflict there.
Hallelujah. So just kicking it off, first key point is that there's two opportunities, two mindsets, two completely different listeners that could even drive by and listen to this show. Hallelujah. So we're going to go to our next clip, painting that picture first, that a lot of us have lived in the modern woman's mind, so we understand the transformation. Okay, if you're listening to Transform Women, behind me is Transform Women Every Shabbat I'm surrounded by transformed women, and we have a new mind. And truly, just like the testimony even in the beginning of the show, truly you are transformed by a divine being, our creator, because you could not do this on your own, nor would you. Nor would you ever choose to do the work that he's begun and promised to finish in us. Okay? So let's jump to the next clip, and then I'm going to ask Mother Jennifer a question.
In this world, modern perspective, point of view, if mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That's called devilish, evil, wicked perspectives and point of view. That has nothing to do with the scripture. So I'm going to say a lot of things that if your mind is worldly, it's going to offend you very greatly. You have to understand, my thoughts is nothing but biblical. You ask me a question, I don't even search for my own answer. I search for what comes up in my mind based on the Holy Scriptures.
Yes. Yes.
That's how much I've hidden his word in my heart. And so we're here to help one another in the faith. Got a few questions here. I'll start this broadcast off with this question, then we'll go straight to what you have, and then I'll ask you to answer this question. How much does it cost for a woman in this generation, in the Israelite faith, and heritage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to be in the faith, to submit? How much does it cost? What would it take? So with that said, we're going to call her number 83.
All right. That is what is a woman's role in the Bible. Our clip off the straightway helped me. She can hear that he asked a question to kick off his show last 6 day, his Blog Talk Radio show. And we clipped it, Sister Aya clipped it for us and put it on our channel. Okay? So we had callers call in with really good feedback. And tonight I'm asking Mother Jennifer the same question. What does it cost to submit? What does it take? How much does it cost? Those type of questions. Share your heart, Mother Jennifer.
Sister Ashley, it's such a good question, and there were some good answers. And, you know, when I was thinking about the question, you know, I just really thought about my own life. And, you know, when I started out, even before the faith, when Elder Rufus took me on as his wife, and it financially, it cost me nothing, but it literally cost you everything. You know, it cost you everything when you're talking about submission, because you literally give all. So it cost me my mind, you know, giving up my will, my way, my right to believe that I'm entitled to certain things. So everything that I had learned from the world, it cost me all of that. Now, I was willing, more than willing, to give that up, but it literally does cost you everything because you give all. And it's not just a one-time thing of giving all. You give all on a daily basis. You know, you give everything that you have so that you can properly assimilate to your master, so that you can be pleasing for him and you can submit to him. It's not about you. It's not about you having your own mind, your own way, your own thoughts. You know, it's about you really assimilating to him and his needs and his desires. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I think my mind went to the irony in the word, or the balancing of opposite perspectives that you see frequently throughout the word. Let me explain. Like in James, where he says, count it a joy when you fall into temptation. You have to produce joy when you feel a temptation. And walking that out and living that out is, yes, the cost. You're striving for the joy, but the temptation is present. Or in Romans, he says, owe no man anything but to love him. Okay, so, oh no man, hallelujah, that's freeing. But you got to produce love. So, don't owe anybody. There's a little bit of ease with that. But you got to love them. That's tough. Because then you got to say, I hate. You know, and then you got to say, I'm envious. Then you got to say, I'm, you know, jealous. I'm struggling. You got to say, these things aren't easy. And was it Paul who said, what things were gained to me, I count a loss. Right? So there is a cost to submit, as you say, and it costs everything. But what you get from it is such a gain that you do count it a loss. That you can say, I gave up nothing. But it's really everything. Does that make sense? That's the irony. That's what I mean by the balancing of opposite perspectives. The cost of discipleship, the cost of what we were, which was modern women. You know, imagine the Messiah. He sits down with his disciples, and he tried to explain the cost. And he said it to the multitudes that, okay, you've heard it before. Every one of you have probably heard it before if you're new to the ministry. Maybe not, but if any man come to me and you don't hate your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers, and your sisters, and even your own life, you're not going to be my disciple. So you got a total mind change. And whoever doesn't bear his own affliction, his own cross, his own denial of himself, and come after me, you can't be my disciple. And he even says, who is going to intend on building anything and not sit down and count the cost? Right? Because you're going to see, can I do this? And throughout your walk, you're going to find perhaps a voice won't present itself to you and say, can I do this? But believe me, a voice is going to present itself to you to make you tempted or waver or doubt that you can. So, hey, what would happen if you don't count the cost? What happens? Well, you're going to lay the foundation. You're not going to be able to finish it. Even the Messiah said to the disciples, then they're going to mock you because you couldn't hang, you know. The man begins to build, he's not able to finish. Or if you were a king and you're going to war, you're going to lay out your blueprint, right? Hey, we're preparedness-minded, right? Some of us more than others. Do you not lay out and sit down and consider your monthly cost? What can I store? What shall I do? Right? Because likewise, whoever he be of you that forsake not all that he have, he cannot be my disciple. Forsake all. Now, a lot of people, the all is a continual requirement. So the all is, all right, yep, you're going to give up your family. Mother, wife, father, brethren, sisters, children, you're going to give it up, give it up, give it up, give it up. But there's never a stopping point in your sacrifice. Never. The word says, Yahweh, your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, you are going to fear him. You are going to worship him, 2 Kings 17. And to him, you will give your sacrifice. So what does it cost? The sacrifice. That's what Mother Jennifer just, your mind, your will, your emotions, your everything. For a woman who shares her husband, that was your sacrifice. The statutes, the ordinances, the law, the commandment which he wrote for you, you shall observe forevermore. And the covenant that was made for you, you will not forget. You know we're going to be challenged in forgetfulness as a wife or as the bride of Christ. But Yahweh, your Elohim, you are going to fear, and he's going to deliver you out of the hand of your enemies. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, your words?
You know, Sister Ashley, is very good when you said that there's never a stopping point to your sacrifice, because, you know, some women can get in a marriage and think, okay, I've done this, you know, so that's enough. All right, I've done this now, that's enough. And it really is never enough. There's never a stopping point when it comes to your sacrifice. You know, we are on assignment to help him complete his mission. So whatever his mission is, whatever his vision is, we are on assignment to help him complete that. And his vision literally becomes our vision. So we don't have a separate agenda apart from him. You know, I trust that he is working very hard to support and supply for our family. I know that he loves Yah. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And so what I do is to support anything that he does, because I know that Yah is definitely leading him. And so, you know, I think it's very important, Sister Ashley, for women to truly have that trust. You know, so to the young daughters who are not married, they're not in covenant yet, if you truly seek out the leaders are going to help you make the right decisions when it comes to joining covenant with another man. But if you jump the gun and you want to do things on your own, then things may not work out very well for you at all. Sister Ashley?
Well said. Back to cost. And my last thought to where my mind went with it was, what was it like for Moshe to trek the wilderness and to be completely alone in the flesh, right? Obviously not in the spirit, but alone making decisions for an entire crowd of people, hundreds of thousands of people, denying Egyptian inheritance, walking away from a palace, you know, to a trek and a journey of sorrow and heartache, finding joy. You know, what was it like? What was the cost like, Noah, for 144 years of pain and sweat that I'm sure you didn't build your ark under a shade tree? You know, what was it like, Abraham, when you gathered the sticks to sacrifice your own son, not having a clue the end result, that on the downswing you would be caught and stopped? What was that commitment like, Jacob, when you forsook land that was yours, or walked away from a brotherhood and a brother that you grew up in bonds with? Like, that was your brother. That was the one you loved. You thought he would be with you, you know? What was it like, man of Nehemiah, when you sacrificed your entire family? What was it like, Kabir? What was it like, Rob? You know, what was it like, even to the women who, Sister Ray, what was it like? What about you, Joe? You know, when you lost it all. And Yah said, you know, take not his life, and you wondered the whole time why the hell he didn't. Right? Or Paul, what about your sacrifice when your eyesight would not have been restored? You would have walked around aimlessly and blind, you know. And last but not least, our praise his name, our Messiah Jesus. What was it like? You sacrificed your life for people who hate you, the same ones who cried out, Hosanna, 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 who laid out the blankets for you to walk your she-ass across. It's the same ones that picked up the rock. What was it like, you know? So that's where my mind goes with the everything. And I think we should all reflect on the cost, you know? Test your own spirit, your own decisions. You know, I definitely, you know, I bump up against things that I, in times past, I haven't wanted to change or give up. And when you bump against it and you find it, then you are doing your digging and your diligence to get that thing out of the way. It is hindering your soul, you know, from a kingdom decision. Hallelujah. Well, Jennifer, before I go to my next clip, would you like to add anything?
Yes, ma'am. I wanted to say this is why it's so important for women to be led by men. Women cannot be leaders because we would be so emotional. You know, you're going through all these different scenarios and asking what it was like, and women would be too emotional to really make the sound decisions that need to be made to actually obey. This is why we need men as leaders, so that we can see their example. You know, we can see how sound their minds are, and how they just trust Yah, how we can see how strong their faith is, and we can follow them in that faith without any emotion leading us. Sister Ashley?
Yes, I've seen this. I guess what comes to my mind and the way that I've seen this manifest throughout the men and the judgments of the men is they've made decisions to allow people to come back into the assembly, those who, had a hiccup, had a stumbling block, had some form of transgression or judgment or anything that transpired that kept them from the body. And, you know, they personally denied fellowship, or they were even pushed away from fellowship. These men have made these decisions at times, the men that lead us, to allow people back into the fold. And personally, my own nature, right? It's why women don't lead. I'm giving you a perfect example, because why is her ass back? That's where we're going to go in our mind. I'm saying I had to gain a lot of mercy. I had to watch the examples. But I'm giving you a complete opposite. You know, we are much more selfish by nature, and we're much more, it's much easier for us to pitch something to the side and just be done, you know. And I've watched people, you know, come back, and it's very, very few, but I've watched people come back and be given another opportunity and really excel, you know, and give Yah the glory. And that's why, that's just one example of how critical their decisions really are, you know. So you watch these things evolve, and you watch these judgments or anything that happens within the body, and you begin to get a lot of respect for the leaders, you know. And then your mind never goes to, why is she back? Or, you know, then you never question anything. But, you know, it takes a lot of questions to get there, perhaps, and maybe not for you, but it did for me. Let's go to another clip. I'm not even sure if Hallelujah to Lion's Den has moved to Fourth Days. It's very different. I'm like, I've been late twice going, Father, please help me. It's, you know, it's minutes after. Like, help me remember it's Fourth Day. Gosh, I'm going to get there. But Lion's Den, 6/15, 2022, we're going to Brother Daniel Muir's channel. We're going to Goshen for a moment, and we're going to play something. And just the way that the Father, you know, administers through his men and through the ministry, you guys have probably saw a pattern before where things connect, you know, like from one show to the next, or one Sabbath to the next, or one, it's like somebody was just saying that, and now we're saying it over here in a different way. And so for me, that was one of those moments on Lion's Dance. I'm going to play it when we talk about the cost. And that was his intention. That's what he was speaking of. But it really fits tonight. So we're going to go to maybe a 6 or 7 minute clip and hear our brother Daniel and the Lions. You ready, Mother Jennifer?
I'm ready, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah.
What he said. And they overcame him, the wicked one that was cast down, right?
He's the brother, yes, sir.
By the blood of the Lamb. Are you covered in the blood? Are you washed in the blood?
Come on, bro. Come on.
See? Have you noticed the song that just, we just keep singing it straightway, bro? The last, I mean, since we're in Tabernacles? Are you washed? Asking the question. In the blood of the Lamb. In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are you washed?
Come on.
Ask yourself if you washed, man. Because here's the characteristics: if you wash, you'll be striving.
Yeah.
You'll be seeking to be washed every single day. You'll wake up every single morning and declare in your face, you look at the man in the mirror, and you'll be able to look at him and say this, I choose this day to serve Yah. Bottom line.
Come on. Come on.
I set my mind. I set my thoughts. I set my will. I set my emotions. I set my eyes. I set my ears on the King and his ways today. That's got to be done daily, because I'm telling you what's getting ready to get unleashed in this earth. Your Christian doctrine of you going down to the daggone pulpit and say you repent one time and think you saved, it's over with. That bullshit is done. You better get before the King's face every day. I'm telling y'all, man. Ask yourself, how much longer you gonna have men that's so passionate about loving y'all? Ask yourself. This is what I'm saying. Look at what he said, bro. He said, and they love not their lives unto death. Read Matthew chapter 16. Read from verse 24. Matthew 16, go to verse 24. Watch it.
Then said Yahshua unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself.
Let him say he appreciate himself.
Deny himself.
Let him big up himself with his mouth.
Deny himself.
Let him go around telling everybody, hey man, I did this and this and me. You know this generation. Me. Selfie. Me. Let him do all that.
Deny himself.
Let him deny himself. And do what?
And take up his stake.
Take up his stake.
And follow me.
And follow me. Keep going.
For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it.
You see that? Look at what he said. And they love not their lives unto the death. For whosoever will save his life will lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it.
Come on.
Keep sitting out there trying to save what you got. You better lose it if you want to be saved. You see, this is what I'm saying. It can't be nothing that comes between you and your Savior, bro. Not your children, not your mother, not your father, not your cousins, not your husbands, whoever it is, it can be nothing. You better be willing to put everything on the line for Yah. And I know it's hard out here to find examples of it. I'll tell you one thing, you're looking at one. But I looked at one that did it 30 plus years ago. Living in a trailer with no running water for 9 plus years. So he could just build. To show Yah he loves him and to serve his people. What you think I'm supposed to do after I see an example like that? Be a fool like some of y'all and go back to your wicked lives? Or turn around and say, no, I want the king, because guess what? That same man in that trailer, I seen power come through that vessel from the king on high like I ain't never seen in my life. And I want to see his people set free too.
Come on. Come on.
What is in you, man? We got to be asking ourselves this, man. For real. Lose it. Put everything on the line. Because one thing I know about this king, his word never comes back void. Not one time. You want to know why? Because his name is on it. He's got to perform his word, bro. Keep reading.
But what does a man profit it? If he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul.
Yo, get $10 million. Get out here and make a bunch of money. I made a whole bunch of money. Y'all have heard it. And for the new ones who know me from around the way, who's sitting here watching and all of that from back in the day, you know me too. I made a whole lot. Guess what? Gave it up too. Because I found the king. The king found me. Let me say that. Gave it up quick.
Come on.
Because I got to get in, bro. And the only way as I fool them, the only way I'm going to get in is to love him and love them that's around me. Understand something. You hear this word coming out passionate. But that's the greatest love some of y'all going to see all month.
Straight up,
man. It's time out for this foolishness. It's time out for this foolishness, bro. Watch this.
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer?
Sister Ashley, that Lion's Den episode was so good. It was so very good, and there was so many points that were brought up. But, you know, just in this instance, what we're talking about tonight, what really stands out is when Brother Daniel, you know, says lose it, like literally put everything on the line. And so many women hold back, you know, hold back because they're afraid to lose themselves. But that is the place where you have to be, where you lose you, literally. You know, many women wonder, well, what will be left if I lose myself? And that is the place that you have to be so that Yah's spirit can fully work in you. But so many women want to keep, you know, their way, their mind, And it's not saying that Yah is going to make you out to be a robot. He's not like that at all. But when you submit yourself and you give all, you give everything, you know, looking at the example that was brought up, Pastor Dow, the original saints that moved on that land there, you know, living there without any running water, just really, really roughing it so that we can be where we are today. Like, we have it so good. We don't even understand the level of sacrifice that went forth because they gave all, and they even still continue to give all. So that's just what I wanted to point out when he said, you know, lose it, like literally lose it, lose everything. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. All right, that concludes really the first section of the show, and I want to go into the next question. And Mother Jennifer, do you remember the second question that Pastor asked, or even the original question when he put out the edict to have sisters call in?
Yes, he asked, what is the role of a wife biblically? What is the role of a wife, the role of a woman, or the role of a wife? Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. That's what I want to talk about next. I'm going to share with y'all what came in my mind, in my heart. I'm going to give you my answer. Once again, everyone did a great job answering to the best of their ability and the perfect state that they're at. And I really, really enjoyed the show. So most definitely, great first segment, great first portion of tonight, just making a connection with the cost. And, hey, you had to give up anything, Nadia?
Absolutely.
Everybody in there, yes or no?
Yes.
Hallelujah. All right, so let's go to the music break real quick. There's a song called War Cry. I really enjoy it. We'll be right back, Mother Jennifer, and we will tackle that second question.
Our people are dying slowly.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Sakina back there singing it. My sisters who do faithfully listen to the show say I end the songs too early sometimes. They'll just be jamming on the other end. But hallelujah. It's just a music break for most of the time for a purpose. Hallelujah. So let's jump to the second segment of tonight's show, which is keeping in line with Blog Talk Radio last Sixth-day night. And, of course, the dialogue that went with the sisters and pastor. It was a great show. We even had an email. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. I didn't think of this earlier. I would have had it ready. This woman says, absolutely loved it, speaking about that blog talk. My master said it was the best one yet. The testimonies and responses were off the chain. So encouraging to hear. Committed, devoted sisters. By the way, planning to go to our first Shabbat this Saturday to the land of Goshen. All praises the Most High Yah. All right, so let's hear another small clip. I wonder when I actually ended this. All right, here we go.
This society has lied to women by teaching them if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. They have taught this world a form of witchcraft and dissension and division, discord and desertion. And that's what women have done today. But the book tells us that whatever the desire of the man is, it should be the woman's desire. And not only just a desire, it should be something that she should seek after, sought after, and love it.
Yes.
What says you?
All right, so Mother Jennifer, his desire should be our desire. Man, I can really understand how spirits would get tired of hearing the same redundant or repetitious dialogue or conversation amongst us, possibly as women or as a ministry, as we all try to restore the biblical order of the family. So before I even ask you anything else, what would you say to those who struggle with the voices of annoyance on these sort of topics?
You know, you really have to push past that. If you're here to learn and listen, you're going to hear voices of opposition maybe sometimes, and you have to pay attention to when you hear those opposing voices, and that is the area that you need to focus on and really dig in. When it comes to the area of deliverance or changing your mind in a certain way, because you may not think that you're contrary, but when you start to hear these voices of annoyance or something that's trying to distract you and keep you away, you know, pay attention to what part is trying to come in and hinder you from listening to that particular part. What is it? Pay attention to that so that you can work on it and move past it. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So our husband's desire should be our own. If you've ever heard pastor's reflection, and this is where my mind went. Now, obviously, if I had been asked to call in the show or if I had called in, I would have kept it very short. So tonight you'll hear me say a lot more or maybe even try to explain why my mind went the way that it went. But remember, you know, as women, when we call in, we keep our conversation short and direct and to the point. So thankful for the sisters who did that. But his desire should be our desire. My mind immediately goes to Yah's faithfulness, okay? And as I was saying, have you heard pastor give the reflection of the bride or the assembly, us, even as a ministry, being the reflection of the bride, right? Being the reflection of the woman. And then the man being the reflection of the Messiah or Jesus. And so when I consider the relationship dynamics between man and woman or assembly, bride, and Christ, my mind goes to I should be or I am charged to be faithful to my husband. So my answer is faithful. I'm going to tell you why. He is faithful, right? We can all say he is faithful and forgiving us of our sins. He is faithful in cleansing us of our unrighteousness. I'm a testimony of that. Many of you are. The women behind me are. Do you no longer walk in the ways that made you impure. He spoke of Moshe, and that in all of my house, Moshe is faithful. Okay, so there's something very different about this man's heart. And Deuteronomy 7:9 says, He is Yah, the faithful Yah, which keeps covenant and mercy. He's never in question. You know, he's never, like, any time you pray to be cleansed, there's no doubt that his blood stands ready to forgive. And so the word says also that the Most High loves all his saints and preserves the faithful. He preserves the faithful. So it's a command to me. And then you have, as I said earlier in the show, you have the irony, Mother Jennifer, of the different dynamics of the word, where, okay, the Father said, or David said, the godly man ceases, like he doesn't exist, and the faithful have absolutely fallen from amongst the children of men. But then the word comes around and says, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Or the word asks, or the Messiah asks his disciples, who is faithful and a wise servant? Who is it? So you have to find that within yourself. You have to find your own faithfulness to, first and foremost, your husband in your life, or to Yah, and then your husband. But even we would be overcame, according to Revelations, we would be overcame if we were not faithful. But there was literally a war sent to test and try us, to make us weary, and that the Most High Yah, the King of Kings, would find who was called to be chosen and faithful in that. And so when he comes back and he returns, will he find faith? It's a charge for me as a wife. Of course, even more personal, my husband's a deacon. If he has the office of a deacon, then he's supposed to be grave and not double-tongued and not given much to wine and not greedy and not filthy and all these things, right? But what does it say? I'm even written about the wife should be faithful in all things. Of course, she's supposed to be grave, and she's not supposed to slander, and she's supposed to be sober, but she's supposed to be faithful in all things. So it's a personal charge to me. That's where my mind goes first. But what is faithful to me? What is it to you that you would be charged as a wife to be faithful to your husband? And I want to answer that. Like I said, this is a longer answer than I would have given on his show, but to be faithful is to be also trustworthy. To be worthy of trust from your husband's heart and from his perspective is something you have to gain. There is a man named Timotheus who was found faithful in the Messiah, but Paul said he was faithful because he brought into remembrance my ways. Whose ways, Paul? Paul's ways. So he walked in Paul's ways and was found faithful to Paul in order to teach everywhere in every church and every ministry, even receiving letters, you know, personal letters. So he had gained trustworthiness by having the mind of someone else. That goes back to, what do I just say, his desire should be my desire. When you have somebody else's mind, that's a totally different perspective than the modern woman, because my old mind, who knows what she would have said if I didn't have divine intervention, but she would have definitely said, bullshit, brainwashed, and I ain't going for it, right? So if you even hear with a modern mind that you need to have the mind of someone else, that sounds like the utmost form of control. Mother Jennifer?
And you know, Sister Ashley, when you start to take on the desires of your husband, the desires of your master, you have to remember that Yah said that he would give us the desires of our heart. And from very early on, I remember praying and asking the Father, you know, before I even knew him as Yah, I remember praying and asking him to allow me to change my desires to what my husband's desires were. Help me to see things the way that he sees them. And I still pray that to this day. You know, I don't take it for granted. It's something that Yah has put in me, and it's something that he continues to put in me. It's not something that I do. I just have to really make sure that I humble myself so that I can stay in the place of really understanding what his desires are. You know, even thinking about in the area of polygyny, when you have sister wives, you know, I ask the Father to help me, Father, to truly see in them what he sees. You know, help me to love them the way that he loves them. Help me to really help them the way that they need to be helped. And those are things that, you know, can sometimes get skipped over when you're just thinking about yourself, when you're, you know, thinking about woe is me, you know, I'm lacking here, I need this, it's me. It's not about that at all. It becomes about him and his desire. So whatever the mission is that he has put out there, then you're going to help complete that mission, period. All feelings, all emotions, everything like that, they you push them to the side and you take care of what you need to take care of. And in that, what Yah does is he matures you. You know, you don't have all these things that are just left ignored. You know, that doesn't happen at all. You mature and you take care of what needs to be taken care of. And the things that, you know, used to matter to you, they don't. You see, once you mature, you just see what matters and what doesn't matter. And you become really close to the Father in that way when you start to not be selfish and you really want what your husband desires. Sister Ashley?
I commend you and any woman who represents their husband or their husband's mind who's made that transformation, because, once again, we bring up the word cost. I know that it has cost you, and you're able to speak pain-free today, but I truly couldn't imagine that if you were representing the lifestyle that you do, there is no way you could do that with your mind. You had to, as you say, even adapt your husband, and that's where you found your peace. In learning our husband's mind or the mind of our Creator, remember being the bride, the assembly and the bride of Christ, you will be tempted to go astray. Like, should we even say that, you know? But Yah is faithful for you. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There have no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But Yah is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, with the temptation to feel this way, think this way, do this. With the temptation, he will make a way of escape, which is, here's the truth, here's your husband's mind, this is how you think, this is the way to go, right? And with that way of escape, you're going to be able to bear it. When you bear it, you'll get back on track. This sounds easy. It's not at all, right? And I have to be honest, when there's a charge on me, I'm charged to be faithful, okay? I'm charged to be faithful with my mind to my husband. I'm charged to be faithful with my eyes. Dare I see another man and want him? Dare I see another man and want my husband to be him? I have to present these things to your mind so that you understand where your unfaithfulness can lie. You know, you really are yielding your members to a man as you would the Messiah. I can't yield myself to my husband in this way, with this honor, without the Messiah. It wouldn't happen. Or without my love for Yah, because I don't have it in me without him. But I have to bring up our, as a body, right, as a body, I have to bring up our unfaithfulness, which is our potential throughout many generations to backslide, to turn away, or I'll put my, you know, pastor does his personal translation. My personal translation of unfaithful would be to change from your original state, to change from your original intention, to change from your original love, to no longer a just a verbal commitment and a smoke and mirror, but to truly become what you say you want to be and to become the faithfulness that he's looking for. I'm going to play a clip. This is a third party. I don't support his channel. I'm not even subscribed, so I don't want to overshare someone that is not going to represent ministry. He doesn't even represent religion, but he does have a lot of wisdom with relationships. My husband's the one that who shared it with me, so of course we stay in our safe zone when someone is shared through your husband to you, okay? So let's hear this clip really quick. Hey, let's see. Hallelujah. That's right, Granny. Granny Texan said, the scripture comes to my mind that a servant is not greater than his Lord. Hallelujah. He sacrificed his only son. Truly, truly, it would be a sacrifice. Yes, everything is a sacrifice. Diane's life is a sacrifice. All right? Check out this clip. This is a, it's just a truth. It is a truth that is the same thing that we hear, but said in a different way, okay, from a different man.
You hear the cliche between men and women that when a man falls in love with a woman, he wants her to stay the same, whereas it's the opposite with a woman. She wants a man to change. But there's a perspective I don't think many men have thought about. You see, I don't think that a woman necessarily wants to change after you've fallen for each other and you're committed. I think that she's just tired of acting agreeable to get you to commit. Let me explain. And yes, look, I'm not discounting the biological aspects of it. A woman is passive compared to a man, especially in the courting phase, so I understand that she's assessing whether or not he has resources, if he can protect her, and so on and so forth. But during that courting phase, women tend to be much more passive assessing the man, and they act agreeable while they're assessing whether or not this guy can commit, if he's a good mate, if he's a good match for her. And I think the agreeable nature of women at the start, in men's eyes, makes it seem like, oh, she gets along with me. She says yes to everything I say yes to. She says no to everything I say no to. And when I come out of my shell and voice my individuality, she doesn't really disagree. She's perfect for me, ostensibly, a man thinks. But there's always the typical age-old cliche of once you fall in love, you settle, the honeymoon period is over, she changes. She comes out of her shell, she may start nagging, demanding, etc. And I say this not to condemn women or pick on women, but I'm saying it for men to realize and keep your eyes open about, you know, the tranquility of your life. It has very little to do with women and more to do with your perception, your boundaries, and how you assess what's going on in your life, not tolerating things that don't work for you, and not just saying, oh, well, I fell in love with this person previously, they've changed, but what can I do? I locked myself into this person. So there's the cliche, where did she go? She was perfect at the start, and now we're in love. We're committed, families have met, we're part of each other's life, we're exclusive. All of a sudden, I see a different person coming out. What's going on here? And this is the typical thing that both annoys, confuses, and saddens men. Where did that wonderful girl go that I met, that I fell in love with? And as I mentioned, I think it's part and parcel of a woman's passive nature to sort of assess and be agreeable so she's taken care of. And when she sees the man's in love and they're committed, you're effectively locked in. It's similar to the probation period of a job. You act on your best behavior until you're locked in. You can't get fired or fired very easily. And then you can let yourself out and be a bit more relaxed and be you. I think this is what is going on. I don't think that women change. I think women are sick of acting and then they finally allow themselves to be who they are. And this is us seeing them as changing. They were never that person at the beginning to begin with. They were in the probation period of on their best behavior because they found you attractive. While men, while they find the woman attractive, they're assessing and getting used to, you know, is this person right for me? And they falsely assume she's perfect because she's just mirroring him. So that you can fall in love, that bond happens, biologically speaking, it's the first trimester, long enough for you to impregnate her. So I understand that aspect, but I think it's important to realize what's going on. A woman does not change, she gets tired of acting. I'll repeat that. Women don't change after you fall in love. They get tired of acting agreeable. This is my hypothesis anyway. She's tired of the act. She wants to go back to being herself. She's tired of living in your world temporarily. She wants to come back home to hers. She's tired of the wonderful vacation. She wants to come back home and nest. And nest in her world, not yours. She was effectively on stage. She was holding her breath for months or up to a year. And now she can't do it anymore. I mean, who could? A man certainly couldn't, even from the first day. We're very crudely honest that way. It's not very sophisticated with us, but we take what we see as a given. Unfortunately, women's nature, again, don't hate them for it. This is the way they're built. They're the passive sex, and that's the way they operate at the start to feel safe, be chosen, given security, resources, etc., etc. So she's on her best behavior during the probation period. Once you're in love, then you're sold, you're locked into the job, the concrete is hardened. Then she knows she can relax. She can be more vulnerable is the wrong word. I think she can be more herself, expose exactly who she is, her anxieties, her insecurities, her neuroses, her true character, her anger that she may have been hiding previously. So let me know what you think about my...
Hallelujah. Any thoughts, Mother Jennifer, from the clip?
I just think, Sister Ashley, that women are great actresses. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. Very true words. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So sticking with the faithfulness that I'm charged with and where my mind went, I'm going to spend, and this is the rest of the show. It's only a few minutes that I'll take to share some verses from Jeremiah of how I reflect, how I meditated, how I studied, because, you know, that is what Pastor had said initially, like, you know, study and find yourself in the Word. Excuse me. And so, I don't know, maybe I'll say the verses. It's a lot of them, but it's really fast. So Jeremiah 2:2 says, I remember your first love and your devotion as a young bride and how you followed me in the wilderness. I'm reading out of the Common English Version. So he says, I remember your first love, your devotion as a young bride, and how you followed me. And that's probably a painful reflection because Yah holds that memory. And he holds us accountable to that memory, much like this man says, she just got tired of acting, right? So 2:32 says, and I'm just reading pieces, does a young woman forget her jewelry? Does a bride forget her wedding dress? Yet you've forgotten me days without end. Remember, I'm reflecting on the word faithfulness, okay? Jeremiah 3:21 says, you've lost your way, and you have forgotten the Most High. Okay, so we are charged to not forget instruction, even as a wife. We're charged to grow and transform into holiness. So you don't stay that young girl or young-minded woman that your husband fell in love with. You transform into more and more holiness. You don't fall out of agreement or become lax in your commitment. You don't lose your way. You know, you don't forget the living Yah. Okay, so I'm also charged as a wife not to say that I'm innocent. We as women cannot say I'm innocent because we can't at many times and most of the time see ourselves for who we really are. And as the Most High continually reprimanded our people, Israel, as the bride of Christ, he too would tell them that that was their heart. They were trying to say that they were innocent. They were betraying him the whole time. Jeremiah 3:4-5 says, at the same time, and what he means is through your betrayal, at that same time that you're betraying me, you say to me as your father, oh, my father, my friend since my youth, will you stay angry forever? Will you continue to be furious? And the father says, but this is what you say while you do as much evil as you possibly can. So he's hearing your words of commitment in this covenant that says, forgive me, I repent for this. You know, will you stay angry forever? But you're doing as much as you possibly can that opposes that. Jeremiah 2:34 says, I'm innocent. He said, despite all these things, he's talking to his people, that you still insist I'm innocent. And as a result, Yah is going to turn his anger away from me. So he's saying that in my people's heart, they believe that Yah's anger is going to turn away from them. That's the truth. You do believe that. You do believe that when you come and confess or attend or go every Sabbath or visit a community, that you are turning Yah's anger from you. There's some form of self-justification that's just embedded into, what did this man say, what a woman does, even by nature, right? She's assessing, that's the first thing she does. She assesses when she falls for someone, when she's looking to be covered, she's assessing how he is, what it's like, the same way everyone who comes to Straightway, you're going to assess pastor and assess his family and assess all the things that are mentally, you know, checking the boxes for them. They're going to make an agreement, and then some are not going to keep that agreement because you are going to go back to who you really were, which is what our people throughout all generations have always done. While you say to me, he says, I'm innocent. Your anger is, you know, turned away from me, right? Next, Jeremiah 2:20. I'm staying right here in the same verses. Jeremiah 2:20 says, it's talking about the Father. I broke your yoke. I shattered your chains. But you said, I won't serve you. Okay? So reflect with your husband and your faithful commitment to your husband. I work for you. I provide for you. I give you seed. You raise my child. But you say, I will not serve you. I will not serve you. Jeremiah 2:23 and 24 says, how can you say as a bride, I'm not dirty and I haven't gone after other gods? How can you say you're innocent in my translation, right? When he even says to Israel, which he called throughout all Jeremiah, he called them unfaithful. He says, look at what you've done. You are like a frenzied young camel. Y'all ever seen a camel running around? Check one out on YouTube video. They get in a frenzy. It says, you are like a frenzied young camel racing around, a wild donkey in the wilderness, lustfully sniffing the wind. Who is going to restrain you from your passion? Like, no one's going to stop you as a wife from doing whatever you want to do when you have committed that you are innocent and you are not going to serve. You are not going to change for your man, right? Mother Jennifer, I'll pause right there. I have another list that's about as long, but your thoughts?
I just wanted to say, Sister Ashley, that we don't know that we are good wives. We can't say that we are good wives. So if your husband comes to you and he tells you something that he sees in you that needs to be changed, you don't need to go into a back and forth or a battle of denial or, you know, whatever you want to call it. You need to really take to heart what he says because he knows you. He knows you very well. If Yah is truly leading your husband, then those words are coming from the Most High. So Yah is the one that will tell you if you are a good wife or not. He's the one that is going to use your husband to tell you the things that need to change. It's not for you to combat and, you know, to try to defend yourself. You really have to take time to get with the Father. You know, how many women, when your husband says something, how many just really sit back and really get with the Father and take time? Or do you just go into defense mode? You know, do you want to defend yourself? And really what you're defending is your own will. You're defending your own flesh. But how many women just really sit in silence and try to just really get it right with the Father instead of being so quick to defend? Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I'll share my other verses on the word unfaithful. Once again, I'm in Jeremiah. It's Jeremiah 2:17 that said, haven't you brought this on yourself, woman? by abandoning Yahweh your Elohim, who directed your path. Your wrongdoings, verse 19 says, your wrongdoings will punish you, and your acts of unfaithfulness will find you out. And they do. Your pain comes upon you. Your suffering comes upon you. Your diseases come upon you. Your sin becomes your own torment, truly. He says, your acts of unfaithfulness will find you out. That's why I say I'm charged to be faithful. In Jeremiah 3:20. Okay. As a woman betrays her lover. Okay, interesting that the father would know that in the pattern of a woman. As a woman betrays her lover, so you, people of Israel, have betrayed me. And this is very, very painful. There was another statement, and I don't have it highlighted, but he said in the same chapter, in chapter 3, that I thought you would call me a father. That right there stabbed me in my private time, you know, where the words of something will just jump out and get you. You know, the pain of your creator saying that I thought you would call me a father. You know, and let's go to Jeremiah 4:18. We'll move through about four or five more. Jeremiah 4:18, is that what I said? Yes. Your own conduct, your own deeds have done this to you. So much of our battles are very self-inflicted, and it takes some maturity to quite understand and decipher between what you brought upon yourself. But truly, it's right here in the word, your own conduct and your own deeds have done this to you. This is your payment, and how bitter it is, piercing into the depths of your own heart. That's Jeremiah 4:18. This is your payment, how bitter it is, piercing into the depths of your own heart. There's a lot of pain. Once again, this goes right in line with cost, right? It's a cost to come back to the Father. There's a cost to return. You're going to make sure that you're going to keep your word. Jeremiah 5:11 says, the people of Israel and Judah have been utterly faithless to me. Faithless. Jeremiah 5:25 says, your wrongdoing has turned your blessings away. Your wrongdoings have turned your blessings away. There's another phrase in the book of Jeremiah that says, how countless are your acts of unfaithfulness. You know, that's a lot if the Father can use the word countless, because he knows the number of the hairs on our heads. Jeremiah 6:10, I got three more, says, they are ashamed of the Most High's word and take no pleasure in it. They are ashamed of the Most High's word and take no pleasure in it. That's how we can become so annoyed at the continual preaching and the continual administration of this word and that word, and there's no pleasure in it, right? Two more. Jeremiah 8:6 says, I've listened carefully, but haven't heard a word of truth from them, talking about us. That's our unfaithfulness. The Father says, I have listened to you carefully, and I haven't heard a word of truth from you. No one regrets their wrongdoing, and no one says, what have I done? And what it makes me think of is that the majority of our repentance has a selfish desire. You know, your repentance is because you want to be free in the flesh, not because you have dishonored or been unfaithful to him and want to have his desire come first. Right? It is truly because of you and your affliction. So if you can meditate even on that, that's a reason for your unfaithfulness. And the last one is Jeremiah 13:23, another painful one for me. Jeremiah 13:23, Mother Jennifer says, a Cushite can't change his skin, a leopard can't change his spots, but neither can you do good when doing evil comes so naturally. Neither can you do good when doing evil comes so naturally. Hallelujah. So that was my personal study. That was my verses. That was my word. I went back and forth in my mind between, you know, faithful and unfaithful as far as the study goes. But as far as my answer goes, I'm simply charged to be faithful. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, I thought it was good that you brought up about most of the things that we deal with or we go through are self-inflicted, and how, you know, you really have to check the motive of, even in your repentance, you have to check the motive, you know, behind your repentance. Is it because you want temporary relief in your flesh, or do you really want to be set free? And you even have to confess that if your motive is wrong before Yah. You know, he already knows. So these are things that you have to really assess within yourself. And, you know, there's been several times when, you know, there were things that I was dealing with, things that I was going through, and I would take these things to Elder Rufus, and he would say, you know, I'm going to take some time and get with the Father, and we'll see where he leads me. And so you need to know that, you know, there's going to be times when there's going to be so many things that you just cannot figure out on your own. You're going to need your husband. You're going to need a man to go to Yah on your behalf. Now, you need to have your own personal relationship with Yah. But there are some times when you need answers. You need to know that there are things that you don't always see. You know, there's things that happen because it was self-inflicted. And so sometimes you don't understand or know the motives behind your repentance needs to be proper. So you have to make sure that it's not because of just wanting temporary relief. I want this bad feeling to leave. You know, I want this whatever it is, this infirmity, I want it to leave. But you really have to desire to want to be set free and acknowledge the fact that you have transgressed against him, that it's your doing, that it's your fault, and nothing else. Nobody else has done this but you. Sister Ashley?
Yes, and so to even encourage you in that would be when you are, you know, in confession and pouring out your heart like water, when you are talking to the Father about who you really are, you're just telling him that. You're telling him, I realize my repentance is because of me and not you, you know. And if it's that every time, then you're telling him that every time until it becomes more of a care and a compassion for his desires above your own. Okay, so that's how you transform. That's how you transition. It's through total honesty. Total honesty, holding nothing back. He's going to demand honesty out of his bride before he comes. He should already be demanding honesty from your heart. That is definitely a fruit of his doing. He has a short time to do a huge work. All right, so I got another clip, and I like it. We're going back to the Lion's Den. This is my last clip for the night. Lion's Den. We're going 34 minutes in. Ms. Jennifer, you ready?
I'm ready, Sister Ashley.
Interestingly, how everything ties in, you know, just from last week's blog talk, pastor's last blog talk to even tonight's show, being that we covered the cost and we covered the faithfulness, Brother Daniel did too. Of course, not even knowing what we would discuss, you know. And so here's his clip that fits right in line with our second segment.
That's the way. So now we're going to be, now we're going to see characteristics. We're going to see characteristics. Go to 2 Peter, chapter 2. We're going to see characteristics. You know what? Before you go there, go to Malachi 3. Go to Malachi 3 and read from verse 6. Watch this, because I'm going to show you how you've been deceived.
For I am Yahweh, I change not.
He's Yahweh, he changes.
He changes not.
He said he don't change. Go ahead.
Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
Come on.
Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinance.
You hear, even from the days of his father, what did we go away from?
His ordinances.
We went away from his instructions.
Yes, sir.
They went away from his commandments. They went away from his law. What you think ordinances is? They went away from the statutes. Okay? Watch it. Keep going.
And have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith Yahweh of hosts.
You hear that? Return unto me, and I will return unto you. just like a good father is, just like a good husband is.
Come on.
My wife ain't finna leave and think I'm gonna chase her.
Man, come on, bro. Come on.
They ain't chasing.
Come on.
You're gonna be restored to me. You're gonna come after me.
That's it.
Same thing with the children.
That's it.
You see what I'm saying? The prodigal son. Oh, but as I asked in the beginning, if you don't ask Yah for understanding judgment, what you gonna do? You know what you're gonna do? You're gonna do just like you see this world tell you, especially in them daggone wicked, defiled Christian churches. When the woman wanna act up, just like you see all over this world, and she want to depart, what they tell you, go chase after her.
Amen.
Go wine and dine her.
Hell no.
Go just take her out. Go be romantic. Bullshit. How about this? I am the prize. Bottom line.
Straight up. Y'all don't chase after us.
Y'all don't chase after us. He stand at the door and he knocks.
Come on. Straight up.
But you got to open the door.
Come on.
You see what I'm saying?
Come on, man.
It's plain. I know y'all not used to talk like this, but it's the proper order. Go read 1 Corinthians 11. It's the proper order. Bottom line. Just think of the wickedness, bro. We live in a society, in a world, where the man can work, provide, protect. He has the seed. Put the seed in the woman so fruit can be bear, but this society teach him to get down on his knee and ask her.
You got me dead, bro.
That's like Yahweh himself.
That's what I'm saying.
Doing everything I just stated and want to come and plead at my feet.
Man.
That don't even make sense. No. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to plead at his feet.
That's it, man.
See, proper order.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, from your end, please, end the show.
Hallelujah. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of his love, and faith is the beginning of cleaving unto him. Shalom.
Hallelujah. I got to read my Isaiah 54. For thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. The Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth. Shall he be changed? Hallelujah. For Yah has called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife from youth, when you were refused. For a small moment have I forsaken you, but with great mercy will I gather you. And in a little wrath I hid my face from you for but one moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I also sworn that I would not be wroth with you nor rebuke you, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Master that has mercy on thee. Hallelujah. Enjoy the song. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. Give you something to reflect on. Bless his holy name. Great is his faithfulness. So have a good night.
I'm so glad I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. So
Alive. And when he comes, I'll see his face.